The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is, if you are listening to the podcast in audio form, Tuesday, March 29th. If you are watching the podcast on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, we are live every day during the week, Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can come hang out and chat with us if you're so inclined. Schedule your lunch break and come kick it with us. We are going to do a mock draft Monday today. We're gonna talk about your big board versus your mock draft. You see this from everybody, and then this is how draft Knicks and junior draft analyst should handle things. You know, you need to have a big board where you rank your prospects in order of how you feel they slot out as a prospect versus where it's not going to match up perfectly with where they go in the draft, because teams will reach, teams have different positions they need, teams have different rankings on these prospects. And like, you're going to have different rankings for your big board versus, say, like a Daniel Jeremiah's big board, right? How much do you push up quarterbacks when it comes to the big board?
You mean when it comes to the mock draft?
So like, By the way, the 2024 NFL draft be held in Detroit.
Oh, so we have Kansas City and Detroit?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Vegas, Kansas City, Detroit. We know now the locations for that. So, like, ooh. I guess I'm wondering, so Matt Corral, number 26 on your big board. You have him going 32nd overall.
Mm-hmm.
Is he moved up your big board because he's a quarterback, or do you just actually, and do you, I mean, and I, it's okay if the answer is no, but I'm just curious, like, do you use a grading system, or do you just sort of rank him out by sort of like, you take the list of prospects, you list out your linebackers, you list out your running backs, you're just sort of the process.
So the process is, starting with the college football season in the fall, I watch these guys, and then I get sort of initial idea of where they should be slotted in terms of like first, second, third round. And then day three. And then once the season is over, once like November gets around here, I'll go through and start watching them again and get a little more precise grade. And then I'll talk to scouts and about guys that have questions about. And then when you get to the Senior Bowl, you talk to more people, and the combine, you talk to more people and sort of start to crystallize what these guys are going to be. As for the quarterbacks, I just grade them like they're another player in terms of where they go on this big board. Like Matt Corral is my 26th ranked player. And I like Matt Corral more than a lot of media folks. I know some NFL teams like Matt Corral's their QB1. So again, it's just the disparity that you see between the league.
In other words, Matt Corral isn't pushed up from like 35 to 26 because he's a quarterback.
Okay. In fact, and I don't know if I told someone this, but I went back and watched a lot more Sam Howell. I watched three more of his games. He's now my QB2 because I watched the Virginia Tech game at the beginning of the year and like, oh boy, this guy is a walking disaster with no weapons around him. He actually got better, and he actually carried that Carolina football team, which was not a good football team.
No.
And I'll tell you quickly, like Prisco and I were texting back and forth because he likes his guys and I like my guys, and he likes to tell me I'm wrong, and that's not unusual. But I don't think he'll care if I tell you his quarterback rankings as we sit here. He likes Kenny Pickett the best, Desmond Ridder, and then Matt Corral, then Sam Howell, then Malik Willis. For me, it's Corral, Howell, Willis, Pickett, and Ridder. So it just gives you some indication that this quarterback class, more than any other in the last 10 years, probably. There's going to be a lot of variation in terms of where these guys go. And the good news for you, Brinson, when you do your mock draft, it won't be a Jake Fromm situation. You could put any one of these guys as your first quarterback off the board, and no one will disagree with that.
That reminds me that I have to
delete that post.
I have to do my mock draft today. I'm just looking at Daniel Jeremiah's because I just happened to click it open when because he tweeted it out earlier. But like, he has Matt Corral at 35. He has Sam Howell at 48. He has Malik Willis at 27 and Pickett at 24. Like, these guys are all over the place. Let's see. Desmond Ridder's not even a top 50 prospect for him. Like,
and that's the funny thing. So here's the thing about Desmond Ridder, who I said ever since we spoke with him at the combine, like, the dude has an edge, and he feels like he'd be a great leader in the locker room and all that other stuff. The accuracy concerns are real, but Prisco loves him. Like, and there are other guys in the media who love the way he plays, and he has experience. He's played in over 50 football games. And maybe it's a situation, and Prisco obviously was right about Josh Allen, who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn coming out of Wyoming. Maybe there's a situation where you have to try to figure out how much can he grow as a player in terms of being accurate. And I think, you know, that's sort of what you have to figure out. Now, I don't know if that's particularly easy to do, but that's the math you're trying to do. And it's interesting that he doesn't have him as a top 50 player. DJ doesn't. I don't think I do either. Let me see where I had Ridder. I have Ridder at... '94.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, look, the reality is, do you remember what's the stat the Football Outsiders uses for the quarterbacks?
It's DVOA or?
No, for the draft quarterbacks.
Oh, I don't remember. There's a name for it, I think, right?
Like, yeah.
Adam or something. I don't know what it is.
Let me see if I can find it. Cubase, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Cubase. I'm just trying to find. I was trying to find the, because, you know, Trevor, like they've been pretty good at projecting those quarterbacks and how they would succeed based on those numbers. Now, obviously, there are certainly, like, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson was high up there too. Didn't Trey Lance Fields? They didn't like Mac Jones though. So we'll see. I didn't know if they had released it for 2022 yet, because I was interested to see exactly how those teams slot out. It looks like it was March 30th last year, so it should be coming this week, I would guess. Let's see real quick. Anyway, we don't need to keep lingering on this. Let's look at some of these examples of these quarterbacks. You have Matt Corral, 26 on the big board, 32 to the Lions. Sam Howell, 27 on the big board, not going in the first round. Malik Willis, 39 on the big board, going 6 overall to the Panthers. And Kenny Pickett, 44th on the big board, going 8th overall to the Falcons. That's pretty wide disparity between your big board and your mock draft.
Yeah, and this is more a mock draft of what you think is going to end up happening as opposed to what you actually think is going to happen, and that's the only reason for that. We've talked a lot about we just talked about Matt Rhule and his ensemble. It looked like he just threw himself together to get out there. Maybe that's because he was trying to figure out how to solve this quarterback situation that he finds himself. So at number 6, it feels like it's going to be a quarterback because they continue to strike out in free agency and through trading avenues. Deshaun Watson obviously is now in Cleveland. So, you know, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett feel like the front runners. Malik Willis because of his quote unquote upside, Kenny Pickett because of his relationship with Matt Rhule going back to Temple when that Matt Rhule recruited him to Temple. He ended up going to Pitt, obviously. And then, of course, he's 24. He's experienced. He came back for his final year at Pitt and did really well. I have a lot of questions about Kenny Pickett. Prisco will try to tell you he's sort of like Joe Burrow. He's absolutely nothing like Joe Burrow in terms of that final year. But, you know, we'll find out. That's just how it seems now. More times than not, you'd be wrong about these guys because you just don't know. But Kenny Pickett doesn't strike me as someone who's going to come in and magically solve the Carolina Panthers' problems where that offensive line is still a huge issue.
So my thing on this, I'm going to have Pickett going to the Panthers at 6. And it's not that I
guess your buddy Chris's wishes.
Yes. It's not that I think Kenny Pickett is the solution there, or that Kenny Pickett will be necessarily be great for the Panthers. The connections between Matt Rhule and Kenny Pickett and David Tepper and Kenny Pickett and the absolute desperation of the Carolina Panthers after striking out on every single quarterback. You know, they couldn't even get convince Carson Wentz to waive his no trade clause for Carolina, which is just, just embarrassing. Now, look, it could totally end up being Malik Willis, but I think the problem is Matt Rhule's seat is so toasty and the Panthers are in, it feels like they really need to get some wins this year. I don't know that Malik Willis, like, I feel like Kenny Pickett is more ready to step in 2022 and play for the Panthers, even with a bad offensive line, than Malik Willis. And I don't think that this is a case where if they draft Malik Willis, that it necessarily buys Matt Rhule additional time.
Yeah, you know, that's one of your, you've had that theory for a while, that if you, it's one thing if you're on the hot seat, you can draft a quarterback and buy yourself some time, quote unquote. But I'm with you on terms of not putting Malik Willis out there. I'm that way with a lot of these quarterbacks. But, you know, Prisco and Brady Quinn both think you just throw the guy out there and see what happens. That's sort of their default with these quarterbacks. And I don't know if that's making anyone better. I don't care who you are. Dan Marino in his prime on the Panthers team is going to get sacked 45 times next year.
Right.
So I don't know what
they've improved the offensive line a little bit in the offseason.
Would you feel good about putting a franchise quarterback behind that offensive line?
No, what they need to do is draft an offensive lineman at 6.
Yes, but the problem is they don't have a second round pick because that went to the Jets, presumably for Sam Darnold.
If the Panthers were to do this the correct way, you would draft an offensive lineman at 6 and just take your medicine with Sam Darnold in 2021, 2022. You have to understand that this team is, I mean, not you, but like you, there needs to be some self-awareness that right. This team is not prepared to go win anything right now, particularly with Tom Brady coming back to the Buccaneers.
I guess. I think you can do better than Sam Darnold. Like, they whiffed on that one, and you can complain about all the...
They just simply didn't need to pick up the fifth-year option. Like, yeah. Like it was it's an unforced error. Don't.
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold? I know that's not going to happen, but...
Baker Mayfield, for sure.
I mean, it might be a half a dozen of one behind that offensive line. We saw what Baker looked like last year, and that offensive line was actually pretty good despite a couple of injuries. Yeah, but it makes you wonder, like, you're striking up with Deshaun Watson, whatever that happens, that there were other suitors, but they I mean, Mr. Trubisky could have been an option. I don't know how seriously they pursued him, but just something more than Sam Darnold that's actually cheap, too. But you're right, they have to pay Sam Darnold either way. So maybe the idea is to, if you take Malik, you roll with Sam Darnold this year and let him be the pinata. And then perhaps in the offseason or through some voodoo or sorcery, you find some offensive lineman on day 3 and go from there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I've been saying this for like a year plus now. They artificially accelerated their timeline when these quarterbacks became available because they were so desperate to get one of the franchise quarterbacks. And when they struck out on them, they are now in this position where you either have to take your medicine and draft the best player available, like an offense. Cause it seems like, I mean, like it seems like at this point that one of Icky, Evan Neal or Charles Cross will be there available at 6 for them. Right.
In fact, in this last mock draft at 6, they could have gotten Charles Cross for sure. They could have gotten someone like Kyle Hamilton. If you want to bolster the secondary, which needs some bolstering. I don't think you'd want to go too much beyond that in terms of taking a wide receiver or defensive back or an edge rusher. That's not necessarily a need, but I think Charles Cross, if he's there, or Kyle Hamilton, that's certainly a consideration because I'm with you. Like, and I say it all the time, you can take Kenny Pickett at 6. I can tell you exactly what it's going to look like. It's called Daniel Jones. So you're putting a lot of pressure on that guy to do a lot of things that he's not going to be able to do because he can't also block and throw at the same time.
Stu Bromhill in the chat asked what are the odds on who gets fired first? I haven't seen those yet. They usually come out after the schedule is made, but I think everybody in the AFC East is safe. They wouldn't even be in the mention. Everybody in the NFC North is safe for right now. We'd get a full season. I would anticipate the AFC South, the two bad teams hired first-year coaches, and I don't think the Colts or Titans are firing anybody. Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos are all safe for right now. Cowboys, Eagles, Washington, Giants, I mean, I think they're all fine too. Packers, fine.
No, Dallas.
That's... Oh, Mike McCarthy, yeah, good call, good call. If the Cowboys like were just terrible out of the gate, Mike McCarthy, maybe midseason, but I would think that they'll give him the time to try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. In a bad division, it's a good call though on Dallas. Everybody in the NFC North is fine. Like, I don't see Dan Campbell getting fired after a second year unless the team just quits on him completely. Bucks, fine. Saints, first-year head coach. Falcons, still, they're not going to be that rash after they traded away Matt Ryan. The Rams, fine. Cardinals, maybe. Niners, fine. Seahawks, probably fine. I would say, I mean, I don't think Pete Carroll just won a power struggle against Russell Wilson. So
did he though?
Well, I mean, they kept him and not Russ. So I don't think that they would fire him midseason. I mean, it is, to me, it is two very obvious candidates, Matt Rhule and Mike McCarthy. And I think if, depending on, you know, how David Tepper's feeling, it just wouldn't be shocking if he moved on from Matt Rhule if the Panthers start out like 0-5 or something like that.
Right.
And which could very well easily happen. Why Big Jordan says he thinks the Panthers are trading back if Icky and Evan Neal are off the board. I was about to suggest that, honestly. I think that's a...
All right, let me ask you this. Who's trading up and for what?
Right. I mean, that's the problem. I don't know. seriously. I mean, who's coming up to six? Well, it could be somebody who... I mean, let's see. It could be somebody who is...
Like the Falcons are at 8, the Seahawks are at 9, so that's only moving a couple spots.
Well, you got to figure, all right, in your mock, I think in your mock draft, no, in Prisco's mock draft, just because it was the first one I could bring up easily, he has the Panthers going Pickett at 6 and the Giants going Kyle Hamilton at 7. Mm-hmm. So if the Falcons, I don't think the Seahawks will trade up. They're more likely to trade down. If the Falcons, Jets just picked 2, though. Washington. Oh God, there's just nobody who would trade up.
And like this, the Steelers traded from 20 to 10 a few years ago to get Devin Bush. They're at 20 again this year. They ain't moving up to 10.
No, I mean, that's right.
They have too many things they got to sort out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the problem is that it would need to be somebody who thinks the Giants are definitely taking Kyle Hamilton at 7 and wants to leapfrog. And the thing is, Carolina might be willing to do it for a lot less. The Eagles maybe with their 3 first round picks.
Do what? What does Philly want to trade up for?
I don't know.
No, I'm out.
I mean, I don't think. But I was saying, would you trade up to 6 if it cost you 15 and a second round pick?
15 and a second, yeah. If you're still keeping those 3 first round picks, yeah, I would consider that. If you could get like the guy I would target is Kyle Hamilton.
Because I think there's a chance that, do that because they don't have a second round pick.
Where are they getting the second round pick from?
The Eagles.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm saying like basically Carolina is like, look, we got to get we want to take a quarterback. We don't want to take a quarterback at 6 because it's going to be Daniel Jones 2.0 for us. Basically, you call Philly, you're like, look, we don't even need a second first rounder. We just want a second rounder to pick up.
Well, you still have the problem of getting an offensive lineman and a quarterback. Now you're 15.
I'm aware. It's a problematic situation.
It sounds great to me. I don't think it's realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It would be embarrassing for them to do it.
Sweet mercy.
Anyway, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will discuss more disparity between Ryan Wilson's big board and his top 10 next. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Aiden Hutchinson matches up. Number 1 on the big board. Number 1 in your hots, Jacksonville. By the way, Sam Howell's pro day. What's going on right now?
Oh, good for Sammy. Hope he does well.
I probably should have driven over there. Oh, well, whatever.
maybe next year.
That's a haul. It's just a haul. Kayvon Thibodeau, number 2 on your big board, but you have him falling all the way down to 14. Do you feel like the to the Ravens. Do you feel like at this point that the smoke on him dropping in the draft is legitimate?
It's not even smoke. Like, I've talked to teams that have concerns. I talked to other people that have concerns, and I keep hearing it. So, I mean, I don't think people are making it up. And I typically don't like to bring this sort of stuff up because a lot of times it is smoke screens, but folks are wondering about it. So, I mean, whether I like him a lot in terms of the way he plays when he's on the field, but if he's not going to go that high, it doesn't make sense for me to keep putting him that high. So unless it's an elaborate smoke screen by several teams in the league, I think there are things that folks are trying to figure out as we get down the stretch here.
I wonder if it's possible that Thibodeau would be a trade-up option.
No? He might be there at 8 or 9.
Yeah. Interesting. 14 is pretty low, but you still have him as your number 2 prospect?
Yeah, it's funny you say that as we're talking. I got a note from Kyle Stackpole, our NFL editor, saying we need to update our top 300 guys in the next few days, because I think our guy Danny Burkholder is going to start putting that into the mock draft machine for draft night. That's how far down the road we're looking. But anyway, so yeah, as we sit here, he's still my number 2 guy, I think. I'll double check. Okay. He is.
There you go. Kyle Hamilton, number 3 for you.
Mm-hmm.
How far down on your big board do you think you'll put Thibodeau on your updated big board?
I love the way he plays. Like, this has nothing to do with what he does on the field. Like, I don't know if I'm going to move him down. I'll think about it. I'll give some thought, because nothing's going to change in terms of the way I graded him, quote unquote, as a football player. That dude was just destroying people when he was healthy. He hurt his ankle after the first game at Fresno State and came back and just was just as good. He's a better athlete than Hutchinson. He's just, you know, there's some questions, which is weird to have to talk about, but whatever. Here we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. I can't imagine I dropped out of the top 5, but, you know, we'll see.
I hate that a lot of times I fall prey to the offseason, and teams do this too. Media members do it too. Everybody does it. It's just easy to fall prey to the offseason buzz. You know, you hear it's like everybody's talking about that. Yeah, and
it's an echo chamber. It's a problem. And I say this all the time, that I fell for the T. Higgins BS.
Yep.
And that blew up my face, and I'm glad he's having a good career despite the fact that I bought into the nonsense. So you got to fight the power.
I'm trying to think of the person that I fell for that on that I'm still mad about. Whereas, like,
you thought Philip Rivers was going to be good. I remember that.
No, I just think there's
people did it with Parsons last year.
Yeah, Parsons is
100%.
Parsons is a great example.
One of the greatest defensive rookies of all time.
That's a great point. There's somebody else that
helped. Yeah, I wonder where I had him going in my last mock draft, because I know I talked to a few people about him in the league, and they said, you know what, some of the stuff he did was just immaturity. It wasn't like he was a bad person. And as I like to say all the time, when I was 22.
Right. I had him fall into Chicago at 20. Ugh, gross.
The only difference between me and these kids is that I was broke and no one gave a crap what I was doing. I was still doing a bunch of stupid stuff.
I had the Patriots taking Mac Jones. That's cool. Nailed it.
Well, that's the great thing about you. Like, you are in the best spot possible, because you can come in at the last moment and just survey the landscape and figure out where all the nonsense
first comes out tomorrow, though. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it is easier to sort of have this time to sit back and, you know, like to evaluate all the information and to see where people are slotted and all that. Whereas you've been doing this mock draft since, you know, the college football season, right? And it's like you sort of have to.
This is version 30. I'm not even kidding. Like, this.
Yeah, I mean, that's too many.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, you've done just as many as Prisco after this week. He's on one.
Yeah, it's just too many. I get why they do it, because they do clicks and the content's there and it's important.
100%.
But like, it definitely causes your accuracy and your thought process. It definitely messes with your
process. You have the intestinal fortitude to go against the media grain, which I find it easier and easier to do. But when I started, I was like, oh, clearly so-and-so knows what they're talking about. Turns out so-and-so didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
Lesson learned.
3, 4, 5 on your big board. Kyle Hamilton.
So-and-so, by the way, was you.
Oh, there you go. That works out. That checks out. Kyle Hamilton, 3. You have him going 7 to the Giants. Do you think it's too high? Is that too high for safety? Oh, yeah. By Trayvon Walker. Not in your top 5. being or he's your number seven prospect. You have him going number two now. The Trayvon Walker steam has been unreal.
Then this is a media thing, and I need to check around some of my folks about it. I haven't gotten to that yet. So this is a media driven narrative. So I love Trayvon Walker. But he's sort of raw, and he played in a defense that's going to have 25 guys feel like get drafted in the first round. So you have him, you have Jordan Davis, you have Devonta Wyatt, all playing on that defensive line and all dominating in different ways. And you have N'Kobe Dean and Quay Walker and Channing Tindall playing the linebacker position. You have Lewis Cine at safety, Darian Kendrick at cornerback. So that's, I mean, all those guys are going to get drafted, most of them in the first two rounds. So you have to sort of figure out what is contributing to what in terms of productivity, what is something that is solely the having to do with that player being that good. And these guys are all great football players, but none of these Georgia guys are going this high. And Trayvon Walker is making his case to do that. He also, the RAS scoring that they do, he's like literally the 99.9 percentile out of 100 folks. So that also gets your attention in terms of the athleticism.
Absolutely.
So I need to circle back on that. So right now I have him going number two. He's in
the top 10. From old Math Bomb on Twitter.
What's that?
He does the RAS scores.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, it's actually a great resource for sure. But sometimes like that, and like I love the fact that Mock Draftable does all the comparisons with the combine scores. Those are all important. You just can't fall in love with any one thing, I think is a lesson.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at trying to find Trayvon Walker and just see what
his Mock Draftable is probably off the roof too. Off the roof, out of this world.
Oh yeah, it is Mock Draftable season. Yeah, 9.99. Man, quite the performance by. Well, I mean, I guess that counts the combine stuff too, right?
I think so. The times, right? He ran. What did he run the 40 in? 4.51 at 6.5, 275.
Jeez, Louise!
What are we doing?
Yeah, broad jump, 9.24 explosion rating. Yep. I mean,
so here are his comps in terms of Mock Draftable, and this is all solely based on his measurables at the combine and his times. Peyton Turner, who was first round pick last year. Mm-hmm. The Saints, Janarius Robinson, he got drafted last year as well. Ziggy Ansah, Preston Smith, Danielle Hunter, Emmanuel Ogba, Jadeveon Clowney.
Man, his spider web graph on Mock Draftable is pretty good.
Yeah, it's filling in the colors. Joe Tryon as well. So these guys are all legit. So that he's off to a good start.
Clowney, 70% comparison. Nobody's above 75 for him. Although you can slide him over here, you can slide him over to edge on Mock Draftable. And you get Montez Sweat at 85.8%, which is not terrible either.
Peyton Turner again shows up. Ziggy Ansah again. Yeah. Brian Burns was much lighter than he was. He weighed 240. I think at the combine played like 230 something. But yeah. It's still, I mean, the athleticism, it ain't no joke.
If you pop on DL or DN, yeah, Ziggy Ansah pops up too. So that's pretty, some decent comparisons. Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's an incredible football player. You just have to figure out, okay, what's this going to look like at the next level? Is it worth the number two overall pick?
Right.
I mean, Chase Young was the number two overall pick, felt like a slam dunk. He hasn't quite been a slam dunk. So, you know, sometimes everything's a risk.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Garrett Wilson. You're the Chiefs trading up to 10 to get Garrett Wilson in your latest mock draft.
I was waiting for you to come across this. You were talking about the crazy Panthers trade. I think this is a trade that seems perhaps more likely. I'll give you the details. So, Chiefs traded, obviously, Tyreek Hill in real life to the Dolphins, got their first-round pick in addition to five other picks, I believe. So the Chiefs, as we sit here in the real world, have the 29th and the 30th pick. So I had them trading. Let me get this right. And this is using our buddy RJ White, the Sportsline Managing Director, his sort of homemade draft value chart, which is pretty on point. So I had the Chiefs trading picks 29, 30, and 121 to the Jets for their 10th and 146 picks.
29, 30, and 131.
121, which is a fourth rounder, and the Jets give it the 10th and the 146th.
Interesting. By the way, speaking of the Lions, who took Trayvon Walker, remember my boy, I guess he's on there for Hard Knocks reasons, but Rod Wood is the face of the Lions currently on NFL Network, speaking with Andrew Siciliano and Tom Pelissero, which is kind of interesting that it's not the GM or the coach. It's the Lions president and CEO, Rod Wood, which I think that's interesting.
Why?
Because I think I've been talking about how he's a lot more involved than he has been.
Yeah, they got him out there, trotted him out there to talk about Hard Knocks. I'm not talking about.
Yeah, he was making like roster decisions last year. Just something worth watching.
Right. So anyway, what do you think of that trade? Would you do that if you're the Chiefs? You get the best wide receiver in the draft, the wide receiver in Garrett Wilson, who reminds me a lot of Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I think I'd do that. I guess it depends on what their grades are on the various wide receivers.
You're not getting anyone at 29 or 30 that's going to come in and impact your team in the way that Garrett Wilson or Drake London. Maybe even Traylon Burks. I don't know. He ran a little slow, so I'm sure that'll give some teams caution. But Garrett Wilson and Drake London, and even Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams might be there, but you're taking a huge risk because guess who picks at 28? The Green Bay Packers. And who picks at 22? The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, that's fair. I do wonder. I mean, Debo, I'm curious if you. I think Jeremy Maclin was an impact guy in year one, and maybe DeSean Jackson was too. It does feel like Tyreek Hill.
DeSean Jackson was a second round pick, I think, for some off field stuff and because of size. So that was
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill dropped for obvious reasons as well. Yeah. I'm just thinking like where they. Oh, they got him in the fifth round. My goodness. Tyreek Hill didn't explode until his second year. I'm just sort of trying to think back if Andy Reid traditionally has wide receivers blow up in the first year in his system. I feel like in other words, what I'm saying is maybe they're willing to wait and get two wide receivers at 29 and 30, knowing that they can cycle in and replace Marcus Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster if they don't work out.
Well, my question to you, and I don't know if you have the answer, who are you taking at 29 and 30 that are going to be worth it?
I don't have the answer to that.
Right. And that's my point. I don't think anyone does because it's going to be slim pickings. There are plenty of guys that are worth round two, day two value, but I don't know if I want to take them. Like Jahan Dotson, I like. I don't love him at 29. He's out of Penn State. He's sort of like KJ Hamler in terms of the size. He's a different sort of player. KJ Hamler went in the second round. I think KJ Hamler's a little faster. Debo, I don't know if you have a preference between Hamler or Dotson or you like them both equally, but
I think Dotson was the better all-around receiver in college. I think he tested a little worse than people expected, where Hamler was just that speedster. But Dotson, I think, all together is a much better polished pro product.
Would you want to take him in? Like, would you take him in with if you're the Chiefs in late in round one?
I mean, I've thought about, like, for the Eagles' second round pick, but late round one seems like you're pushing it there.
Okay, that's how I sort of feel. So we'll see. But all right, that's good. So, I mean, there's that. There's media guys love Western Michigan Sky Moore. He's a good football player. He's not around one guy, Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati. Pritzker's big on him. I don't love him quite so much, but again, he's not around one guy. So they're Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama he reminds me a lot of Will Fuller. He has some of the craziest focus drops you'll ever see in your life. Yes. I just don't understand some of the drops he had, but he had a good Senior Bowl. I think he ran well at the combine. I wouldn't take him in the first round. I think day two is when you start thinking about him, maybe even the second round. I think I've had him go in the second round some of these multi-round mock drafts I have to do. So, I mean, I would imagine that's the math that the Chiefs are trying to figure out, like who's going to be there, especially with at 22 and 28, the Packers are going to be picking.
It would be pretty surprising if Garrett Wilson, Traylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, or Drake London fell to them. Maybe Dotson.
Chris Olave could be there. Like I don't love him as much as Garrett Wilson. Maybe Traylon Burks is there because he ran a 4.55 and his three cone was a little slow, but I think he's a really good football player. But then the question becomes, and we'll actually find the answer out together because Traylon Burks reminds me a lot of like the best parts of Anquan Boldin and Juju Smith-Schuster and A.J. Brown. Like, is Juju Smith-Schuster going to be a game changer in Kansas City?
I think it'll be pretty good in Kansas City, but maybe not a game changer. One guy that they could trade up for too is like maybe you could trade up and get Jameson Williams, knowing that he doesn't have to be an impact guy in year one.
Yeah, I hope you don't. I don't know if you trade up to 10 to get him.
That's what I'm saying. You trade up a little bit. Instead of giving up the two first round picks to move up to 10, maybe you give up some of the later round picks to move up to like 17 or something, for 29 to 17.
Yeah, maybe the Eagles might be interested at 16 to still have a first round pick and get some other picks on day two or something. Also, yeah, it's worth noting, you know, I originally, like, you don't do it for Jameson Williams. If Jameson Williams is the best wide receiver in this draft class, like if you're getting Justin Jefferson, but you have to wait till November to get him, I think you still make the trade at 10.
I love how you have it mocked this week, Ryan, to the Eagles. Like, I would love that. Like, I'm with you. Like, there's no pressure on this team to compete right away. Draft the guy that's going to be the best.
Yeah, and Jameson Williams. Oh, right. Yeah, this is a home run. I'm pretty proud of this one because Derek Stingley falls. I don't know if Derek Stingley's going to fall. That's just sort of a media talking point. Like, I like his game. And, I mean, teams have actually said, well, we haven't seen him playing forever, so we don't know where he's at. He struggled in the three games he played. But that 2019 season is hard to get over. He was a true freshman, and he was playing with the best players on the planet, and he was awesome. So,
oh, wow. Who do you, so you have the Eagles getting – who's the third one? Scroll
Devin
up.
Lloyd, Derek Stingley, and Jameson Williams.
Woo, man, making Debo happy.
NFC East favorites, baby.
By the way, Debo, I talked to your – talk to your dude Hassan Reddick over the weekend. He's super excited about representing you in Philadelphia. He's a
let's go.
Did you really?
Yeah, he's one of the guys that was working out.
Oh, okay. I was like, what does he have to do with Lansing? That's cool. Okay. I like the trade spicy though. That should be the headline of the mock draft, I would hope.
Yeah.
Chiefs make bold trade.
But who Panthers throwing have? Another quarterback, semicolon. Chiefs make bold trade.
I would do the Chiefs is the lead, but that's just
that's but, you know. Breach one.
That's right. Mentioned Derek Stingley. Nakobe Dean, 13th on the big board. You actually have him going in the first round to the Titans. David Ajabo, 15th on the big board, but falling out of the first round, going 30th to the Jets as a result of, obviously, because of that injury, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe he falls to the second round. But again, like ACLs, Achilles, you sort of know, you can predict how they're going to respond. What's the
Achilles? I think Achilles is a little bit more worrisome, but sure. I mean, just your explosiveness. ACL is a laugh riot. Like, when's the last time we saw somebody not come back like easily from an ACL?
Yeah, but the concern is, as Odell Beckham will tell you, you can tear it again.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, Deshaun Watson has two ACL tears, I think.
Yep, he does. Although I know some. Some people in the league think that Achilles are easier to come back from than ACL. Yeah. So I don't think that. I think the issue is it's not like the Tua hip situation.
Where I also think with by taking a job in the first round, maybe you have a Jeffrey Simmons situation where you're glad you end up getting great value on him when he comes back. You're not rushing him back. You know, a team like the Jets, and you get that fifth year option on them, which is a huge deal. It may sort of allows you to be a lot more patient, especially when it's one of those down at the bottom of the first round.
Yep. And another name I'll mention right before then in this mock draft, I had the mock draft, the Jets drafting Tyler Smith, the offensive tackle out of Tulsa. Pete likes him a lot, and I know folks in the league like him a lot. I don't like him as a first rounder, but I have him in here just because it feels like the direction things are going. I think he's the second round pick, and I'm happy with that, but I just want to be on record saying that why he's there is because I know that some teams like him and Prisco is big on him. I'm not crazy about him as a top 32 guy. Doesn't mean he won't be great. Just that based on what I saw last season, that he felt like more of a second rounder.
All right, let's get to a couple. Let's see. Victor Garcia asks, isn't Christian Watson a potential late first round pick? He's talking about the wide receivers.
Yeah, North Dakota State. He would be interesting. Like, I like him a lot. I think I have him. Do this old school. He's 52nd on my old big board here. Mm-hmm. He's 6'5", I think 215 or something. He had great times at the combine, had a really good senior bowl. He's a track guy out of Tampa that ended up in North Dakota State. I don't even know if he had any Division I offers. I don't know if he'll stick into the first round only because the FCS component of it. A lot of things he does really well, and athletically he matches up with these guys all day long. I just wonder about that. I would take him in the second.
Terrifying comps on mock draftable. Dante Moncrief, Justin Hunter, Jerome Simpson, Stephen Hill, Ricardo Lewis.
Those are all like tall speedsters. That's funny.
Yeah. That's how the mock draftable works.
Yeah. Stephen Hill. I haven't thought about him for a while.
Oh my God. Stephen Hill. What a
second round pick out of Georgia Tech.
That's right.
Didn't work out.
Who just don't draft Georgia Tech wide receivers in Paul Johnson's offense. Like, what are we doing? Calvin Johnson wasn't a
Paul there you Johnson. Go. Nice qualification. Cause I was about to say,
no, Calvin Johnson was not a Paul Johnson guy.
That's my point. I'm glad you qualified with the Paul Johnson part.
Right. The man asks, how does Hamilton compare to Jamal Adams coming out?
Well, the big issue with Jamal Adams was that he couldn't cover anyone. Or he wasn't a true covered safety type guy. And he played closer to the line of scrimmage because I think he set the sack record for sacks, right?
He's a box safety. He led the Seahawks in sacks last year, too.
And I think he set the safety record for sacks in the season or something like that.
Oh, that might be right. Yeah, I think that's right.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. But I think Kyle Hamilton, I compare him more to – he's 6'4", number one, close to 220. And he reminds me more of a sort of an Ed Reed type. He's not Ed Reed. Ed Reed was smaller. They both ran the 4.5s, and that doesn't seem to matter in terms of the way they play. But you can line him up anywhere. He can play deep. He can play in the slot. He can play off ball if you want him to. And his versatility is crazy. His sideline to sideline is crazy. His playmaking ability is crazy. He can high point catches because he's 6'4". He does a lot of things well. Now, does that mean you draft a safety in the top 10? I actually think you were asking that question at one point earlier, Brinson. I mean, that's up to you. You got to use them right. Like Isaiah Simmons was a safety coming out of sort of a jack of all trades safety coming out of Clemson, and he wasn't really used right early on in Arizona. I think he's sort of finding his way now, but he was, I think he's the 11th overall pick. So that's just, you got to make sure you have a plan once you draft these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I saw somebody noting in the chat too, that with Jamal Adams, credit to the Jets. You know, they fleeced the Panthers on Sam Darnold. They fleeced the Seahawks on Jamal Adams. Good work by Joe Douglas.
And Adam Gase too.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. That'll do it for Mock Draft Monday. And one more. Deuce says, is that the Panthers taking Willis at 6? I see. Yes, it is, Deuce. That is the Panthers taking Malik Willis at 6. If you want to read why, go check out Ryan Wilson's mock draft on CBSSports.com. Any other thoughts on the big board players, Wilson?
Mm-mm. I don't want anyone to come up on stage and slap the taste out of my mouth, so I'm good.
That's right. We're getting out of here before Will Smith storms the stage. For Wilson, I'm Brinson. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Turn on alerts. And, of course, leave a 5-star review. If you want a mailbag question for the future, Apple review 5-star and leave your question in there, and we'll answer it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.